Potential new governments always promise change, and political challengers like to focus on how things would be different, that is, better, if they were elected. It's the ultimate campaign promise: a better city, county, state, a better country, less struggle, more prosperity and growth. Here in the Bay Area, growth has a very literal meaning. We have a growing population, and especially in San Francisco, limited space. So what kind of growth will we see? Suburban sprawl? How about condos, strip malls, and big box stores? Many development experts argue that not all growth is good for a given place. Instead of just growth, that we should be aiming for smart growth. That's the question a number of local journalists tackled in the latest edition of the SF Public Press. It published a special report titled Growing Smarter, Planning for a Bay Area of 9 Million. It's produced in collaboration with Cage Lab at UC Berkeley's Geography Department, Earth Island Journal, and Bay Nature Magazine. The series explores the economic, environmental, and human impact of a future population boom in the Bay Area, including a report titled Can San Francisco add 150,000 more people? Michael Stoll is executive director of the SF Public Press. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney about smart growth in the Bay.
The urban core, San Francisco, Oakland, you know, both sides of the inner ring of the Bay Area, have pretty much been built out. And in the last couple of decades, development has happened over the hills in the East Bay, in the south near San Jose. And as a result, people are driving a lot more and a lot farther than they ever have. The idea behind these regional efforts to control sprawl is to get people out of their cars, or at least accommodate the expected population growth that's going to come in the next few decades in more compact communities that more resemble the inner ring urban environments like San Francisco and Oakland. One of the ways of doing that is urban infill development, so identifying the spaces in already established cities that have the infrastructure, that have the public transit, and putting more development in there, encouraging developers to build in cities again as they did, you know, more than 50 years ago. It's also to build what are called transit villages. A lot of BART stations have nothing around them, the more far-flung ones. The idea is if you build housing and jobs around those BART stations, you're going to increase the likelihood that people aren't even going to drive to park and drive to go down to San Francisco to go to their job. They'll just walk to the BART station, or they may get on the BART, take it to a job center, and go to their job, and they may never have to get in their car. This is all part of a regional environmental strategy that comes from the state climate change laws from 2008, which required California to reduce carbon emissions from automobiles by 15% by 2035. That's the law, easier said than done, and it falls to these regional government agencies, most of which no one has ever heard of in the Bay Area, to come up with a master plan to get people out of their cars, change where they live, and really re-engineer the social fabric and the physical layout of the Bay Area.
That's Michael Stoll. He's editor of the San Francisco Public Press, which has a new edition out about sprawl and the way in which governments are trying to change the patterns in which people live. What are some of the articles that you've put together in this edition that are looking at this from different angles?
We have a story from Maureen Mitra. She's the managing editor of Earth Island Journal.
And Maureen Nandini Mitra was a volunteer here at KALW.
She was. She's a multi-talented producer, editor, and now newspaper journalist.
So tell me about her story.
So Maureen took a fascinating look at the rarefied world of demographers. The state, regional agencies, and a bunch of private think tanks and universities all have their own methodology for measuring not only current population, but also predicting future population. And this is a big deal because if the population projections are too high, communities will be spending a lot more money trying to prepare for growth that may not happen.
So what are the different population projections? I mean, what competing numbers are we looking at here?
Okay, so the current 2010 census says the Bay Area has 7.2 million people. The State Department of Finance made a projection that in 2040, the population of the Bay Area would be about 9.5 million people. They recently reduced that based on some new data about the economics of the Bay Area, job creation, to 8.4. And that's a huge difference.
They just cut a million off the top.
They, you know, the economy is changing so rapidly, and economists have gotten into this as well. You need the economics in order to figure out how many people are going to be coming to the Bay Area to be attracted to jobs in Silicon Valley and elsewhere. You have to imagine what industries are going to be leading then, what are going to be the housing needs, who's going to want to live where, how much demand will there be for this smart growth that planners want to build in transit villages and in the urban core. There are a lot of moving pieces, and the science of demography is anything but. It's a very imprecise science.
That's Michael Stoll. He's editor of the San Francisco Public Press with a new edition out about sprawl. Tell me about another story in that.
One of the stories on the front cover of the special section is about the carrying capacity of San Francisco and the Bay Area. So the writer is Allison Hawks, who is one of the editors at Bay Nature magazine. She took a look at the old argument going back to Paul Ehrlich, who's a professor of population studies at Stanford, that at some point the population explosion was going to start degrading the natural environment and reducing availability of resources. And that's spawned a whole kind of cottage industry of environmental predictions about how population interacts with the environment. Some environmentalists and some urban planners say cities are the best place to put a growing population because they already have the infrastructure, they already have transportation networks, electricity, sewer systems, everything is set up to be very flexible in turn. You can squeeze another 25% or another 20% of people in San Francisco and not feel it as much as going out into the green fields of East Contra Costa County and building whole new neighborhoods and cities. You need to lay the sewer lines. You need to build roads. It's all very expensive and it's environmentally destructive. Others say, actually, no, maybe we should think about limiting growth, even in the cities, because there are infrastructure concerns. And at a certain point, you're going to produce so much pollution, you know, just from all of the toilets being flushed in San Francisco, the sewage going out into the ocean, and that is going to produce environmental harm. So there's a question of, can urban environments handle more people? And is that the least worst solution, assuming that there is going to be population growth? All of these stories are very complex, very controversial, but it all comes down to the idea that we are going to grow. The population in the United States is growing. The population of the world is growing. There's immigration. There's legal and illegal immigration. There's no way to stop it. The question is, what influence can we have over future population growth, and what are we going to do about it? Are we going to do the business as usual development, putting people farther and farther out and letting developers grab up land further and further into this undeveloped territory or what's left of it around the Bay Area? Or are we going to take advantage of the resources that already exist in the urban core and bolster them and create more communities that look like downtown San Francisco or Oakland with a vibrant social life where you don't have to get into your car to go to the grocery store?